At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, in all seriousness, I hope that this isn't inappropriate, but you've never mentioned being mildly autistic. You're not mildly autistic, right?
I'm half Hispanic, okay?
I'm 100% Hispanic, but that's okay. Not the question.
I don't know if your Argentinian family is the same, but when my Cuban family argues with each other, they are fucking screaming at the top of their lungs. That's what normal conversation sounded like.
Fair.
When I would go to Miami.
Fair.
And with my family.
That's fair. No.
My family. Like, yeah. So when I talk with my white friends or whatever, or not that we're white, of course, because we're Hispanic.
We're Hispanic. I know. I know.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. This is like a.
Wait, what? Where did that come from? That was a twist I was not expecting. What the hell? I should give some background to this because I believe yesterday was the first shots fired in this. Let's go. It's insane that this has been his take and he's been watching the whole trial. So David Pakman says, I've been anticipating not guilty verdicts all along, but the Rittenhouse defense seems rattled by the fact that the jury deliberation is into its 15th hour and have now demanded a mistrial over an exhibit that is already in evidence. It's insane that he has this take and has been watching the whole trial. What levels of copium are people on? Holy fuck. And then David Pakman responds with, get the fuck out. For a 600 liked tweet. Now, David Pakman has said in the forums, apparently this was meant to be a joke, so they're still on very friendly terms.
An example, if you would allow it.
Sure, I'm curious. What do you think about that?
I'm predicting you're going to focus in on the prosecution sent the defense a blurry video. I'm going before that. Okay, so think back. Think that's an incredible...
Like here? Here?
The jury is able to hear something. Number one.
So we both agreed not guilty is probable?
I have no idea. It's a jury trial. Anything can happen. I have no idea. There could be one holdout right now. It could be a 6-on-6 deadlock. They might be disagreeing over some of the lesser charges. Maybe they've... I have no idea. Anything can happen. It's a jury trial.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm really glad we cleared it all up. I didn't realize how wrong I was until you came on today.
It's... do you think that the judge is wacky? Do you think he's displayed a clear bias in this case?
I think that the judge is kind of a doofus.
Why?
And I think that the judge is not like out to get the prosecution. He's not out to get Kyle Rittenhouse off. But I do think that there are instances where he seems, I mean, listen, in terms of the optics, he interrupts and doesn't allow the prosecution to like even finish what they're arguing regularly.
Why do you think that is?
I'm guessing you think it is because the prosecution is doing things wrong, right?
Okay, well, my understanding is that if the judge feels like the prosecution is going down a line of...
Where was Pac-Man and Destiny friends? Oh, they've been friends for a long time. They've been on very good terms. There's a running joke in DGG that this is the last bridge, because Destiny famously burns every single bridge he has with any other streamers or other associates and stuff like that. But Pac-Man was the bridge that would withstand any kind of scrutiny.
Questioning that he doesn't want them to go down.
I'm not talking about the lines of questioning. I'm saying even when the jury isn't in the room and they're arguing a motion, he doesn't even allow the prosecution... frequently to even finish their perspective on what it is, and I've seen him interrupt
his coverage has been
once in 2 weeks.
I totally disagree with that. There have been motions where the prosecution has won on it. They've successfully argued their point, and the judge has allowed things to stand. Like
you're now arguing a different point than the one I'm talking about.
Okay, the implication of your point is that the prosecution is getting cut off more than the defense, or that the defense is winning more motions than the prosecution?
Those are two different things. I agree with you that there were some motions that the defense's position was just wacky on. Obviously, the judge is not going to give every motion to the defense. So there's no doubt that you're right. There are motions where the judge has sided for the prosecution. They were obvious motions. If you looked at the legal analyses, there's no controversy there. The point I was in the middle of making when you went to a different point was on the optics and the way that the judge is relating to the two sides, he's interrupting and admonishing the prosecution regularly, whereas I saw him do it once with the defense. Now, that's a different point from whether you want to argue any particular motion, which I'm glad to do, if we even care to. I mean, at this point, it seems like water under the bridge.
I don't understand. I guess so. The first part is, I don't know why we're talking optics. We're in court. This isn't about optics or what looks best on like a Twitter.
You brought up my opinion of whether the judge is wacky or whatever. That's about optics. It's not just about decisions.
So my problem isn't you saying the judge is wacky. My problem is you saying things like the judge is turning the trial into a farce.
I think that if you compare, listen, if you watch the trial over the killing of Ahmaud Arbery, You have an extraordinarily measured judge. He's not putting on a show. He's not telling stories for the camera. He doesn't seem to be relishing being on camera every day, but rather wants to be as minimal as possible. He is being clear when the defense attorney starts talking about Colonel Sanders and whatever. He says, listen, I didn't even ask you to do this. In comparison, you have the judge in the Rittenhouse case who's singing, telling stories, referring to a juror, a black that he had, regularly ranting to the prosecution and defense lawyers, but he's talking about the media. He's really like on TV. He's just doing a TV. It's wacky in that sense.
Yeah. Okay. So firstly, if we want to talk about him admonishing the prosecution more than the defense, we need to show that this is actually unwarranted, which I don't think you'd ever be able to do. We can go back to any of the times he has. And it seems like every time he has, most people that are watching agree that most people that are watching with a clear mind agree. Yeah. The prosecution was out of line here or here. As you've said before, there have been times where the defense has lost on certain motions and the prosecution has won on.
I can objectively say that the prosecution in this case has been doing things that I've been like, what the fuck are you doing? That's entirely true. But I think everyone objectively can also say that the judge has had a very clear, proud to be an American bias in this case so far.
So it doesn't seem like it's like an evidence of clear bias or he's interrupting the prosecution more. He just does it when he feels like they're out of line, or especially when he needs to cut the prosecution off before the jury is able to hear something. Number one. Number two, when you say putting on a show or stories for the camera, I mean, like, judges do this sometimes. I don't know if we think that every judge is like Law and Order or I don't know, some crazy like hardcore trial.
So you're agreeing he's doing it. You're agreeing he's doing it, but you're saying it's fine.
Yes, the problem
is... Okay, that's your opinion.
No. Oh my God, no. Holy shit, you're so dishonest, okay? The problem is you're not just presenting this as he's doing it. You're presenting it as he's doing it, and then you're saying it's way out of line, or that it's wacky, or that he's putting on a story for the camera.
Whoa,
there are plenty
spicy.
Of judges...
You just agreed he's doing it.
We're not talking about whether he's doing it. We're talking about whether your characterization of him doing it as being wacky or out of line is fair.
But hold on a second. Hold on a second, Stephen.
Wait, hold on. I didn't even finish responding to all the things you said. I wrote them down so that I could get them all out, okay? So there are lots of judges that will tell stories or jokes or whatever in the courtroom. There are judges that will dress you down. If anybody's been to court before, you will get made fun of or forced to postpone your trial date if you show up or an initial hearing. If you're not dressed appropriately, a judge will throw you out of court courtroom sometimes. Like, different judges do things in a ton of different ways. Not every judge is going to be this hard line, like, we're here, here's the process, I'm not going to say anything. Like, this absolutely happens from courthouse to courthouse. To say that a judge is telling stories, therefore it's like wacky or it's turned into a farce or whatever, is a totally unfair characterization. The idea that he's relishing for the camera, you have no proof of that.
Yeah,
you don't know
how
this guy has run trials in the past. You don't know if he's relishing for the camera. That's an unfair characterization as well. To take his whole story about why he has defendants draw things from whatever that jar was or whatever, and say, and then your only takeaway from that is he called somebody a black. Like, okay, that's also like, Jesus, we're reaching.
But Stephen, you know, here's the problem I'm having with this, Kenny. Man, it's like, how do I even? So, you know, there's projection here. There's, you're accusing me of you're accusing me of dishonestly and narrowly framing things that you're saying. But even in what you just said, I did an entire clip saying the judge's explanation about why he had Rittenhouse draw the numbers is eminently reasonable. I agree with it. I think it's perfectly reasonable. And his bizarre, it was a black thing made me laugh. And it's really wacky. And you dishonestly just acted as if I said the entire thing was illegitimate. That never happened. It never happened.
You characterize it as him making the trial a farce. I mean, like, what is the impression there?
My impression of the judge is that the guy is farcical. He's a goof. He's wacky. That's my opinion. You can disagree. But where I'm having a problem is you seem unable to just be like, oh, someone has a different opinion. And it's essentially meaningless to either of our lives, but I feel the need to go completely bonkers and like attack people and use the term copium. Like, I'm just wondering why you have this tendency. It has nothing really to do with the trial. It's like, I think the guy's wacky. It's just my opinion. What's the big deal?
This defense is unbelievable to me. So
it's not a defense. I'm trying to understand content? Is it just content?
Yeah, he's coming at this from, I guess, a personal perspective, right? As in, like, why are you acting as the third, like, attorney for the defense online against any lefty who upsets you or anyone who is progressive who upsets you in this regard? Because every single person, I've been put on blast, I think, at one point by the Omni Liberal for posting something.
No, you're saying none of this is content, okay? You're basically saying, like, LOL, this is all just a big meme. That's, like, what you're saying, right? But this isn't just a big meme. People look to online commentators to get their opinions.
No, he's not saying that the whole thing is a big meme. He's basically saying that, like, why are you getting so defensive over, say, someone's takes in relation to something that doesn't actually affect the trial?
But how the trial is going.
But then I guess you could put forward the court of public opinion aspect of it. Maybe that's it.
Problem, my worry about, I don't know why you're saying, oh, God, is some part of that unbelievable to you? That people watch people online to get their opinions about the ongoing of this trial. Did you disagree with that?
I don't disagree that people watch content to learn about things. I agree with that.
Okay, I don't know what prompted that response, right?
No, I'm just saying that part I agree with. Please proceed, Governor.
Yeah, no, I think David Pakman has been fair in his coverage. I mean, I don't know. I'm just a Canadian all up here in the north. We do things different up in this part of the world, but it's more like I've been watching this, and I would say that even with my incredible bias, like I'm going to be the first to just admit my bias in this court case, right? I've been biased in this for a while. Certain things in my opinion have changed. I have reformulated my viewpoints on this, but like just objectively, If you were to take, like, try to take as much drama, which is impossible, as much drama out of this as you can, like, the judge has been acting in a way that I think demonstrates a bias towards Kyle Rittenhouse and the defense. Objectively, that's just like, and that's my biased opinion. That's my heavily biased opinion.
Okay, so the issue is that if it does come out that Rittenhouse walks on every charge, there's going to be a whole lot of left-leaning people in this country who are going to feel like, wow, of course it was. It was a white nationalist, white supremacist supporting judge who was making racist jokes Gates about Asians and blacks, who turned the whole trial into a farce, who was constantly supporting Rittenhouse and unfairly interrupting the prosecution. These are the takes that most people are getting regarding the trial, when the reality is the trial has been pretty standard. The judge hasn't displayed any insane, out-of-character behavior. There hasn't been any like mess up of the process that's so wrong. But a lot of people are walking away with this opinion because of commentators like you that make statements like this.
So let me ask you then. White supremacist judge, that rant, right? If we just quote that, I never said any of that stuff. So why are you mad at me about stuff I never said?
You haven't said the white supremacist, but you're playing into this overall narrative that the judge is wacky and farcical and is doing things that are unbecoming of a judge or inappropriate in a courtroom. Or
I think that's an incredibly myopic and trivializing interpretation of 100 hours of coverage that I've done.
So you think that, I'm curious then, and I'm super curious, if you were to pull your audience and you were to ask them, do you think that this judge has been fair equally to both sides of this trial? Do you think the majority of your audience are like, yeah, he's been pretty fair?
I have no idea what my audience would say. My opinion is that on the decisions, the judge has been slightly favorable to the defense. That's not like a crazy extreme position. I think the judge's decisions have been slightly favorable to the defense. Is that considered nuts now?
That's not how...
That's wild that this take, which again is not like far left extremism of any kind, is being seen as being like, no, you can't think that.
It comes across, but
we're
like,
doing an entertainment show with opinions.
No,
it's like you're acting like we have to be. Hey guys, I believe 53-47, the judge, and I'm not going to editorialize anything. If the judge does something funny, I'm going to laugh at it.
Is this all just a bit then? Is it all just entertainment?
It's not just entertainment, but this is sort of like when, what's that? Whoa. Oh God, what is that guy's name? Carl Benjamin.
This is getting into like the fundamentals and the existential question of what exactly is a streamer? Is a streamer an entertainer? Is a streamer an educator? Is a streamer an activist? Is a streamer a politician?
What does that guy go by?
Sargon of Akkad.
Sargon of Akkad. This is like when Sargon of Akkad and I were arguing because he felt my titles were clickbait. And I explained to him, I'm picking titles that are not lies, but that will make people more interested to see what I'm saying. It's like pretending this isn't what we do. It seems very dishonest to me.
I guess I don't view, when I'm covering like news related stuff, I don't view it as just entertainment. But I guess if you do, that explains a difference in, I guess, like what we're looking for in terms of.
That's called opinion. A straw man. That's called a straw man, because now you're ascribing to me something I never said.
Okay. I might be wacky. Maybe I'm, but it sounded to me like just earlier you said that what I'm engaged in is entertainment. Is that, did I misread you? Or you can restate that, I guess, if I misunderstood.
Is the mechanism through which we build an audience that there's a component where people go, I'm entertained by this, so I watch it, in addition to being informed? Like, is that crazy? Are we arguing about, like, what is water at this point?
There is some level of entertainment, of course.
That's what I'm saying.
I think you have to balance that out with not, like, mischaracterizing or misleading people.
So the balance is.
So, yeah, like, I agree with this take in that, like, yeah, you do have a responsibility, especially if you have a big platform. You've got a responsibility as a streamer or as an entertainer or as whatever you want to call yourself to do due diligence and correct yourself when needed and to apologize when needed. All that is important stuff, right? But, like, I don't like the idea of people getting too far into, like, delusions of grandeur. When it comes to like, then you'll find yourself into the corners of the internet where people actually think that they're full on like historical activists. I'm not saying this is destiny, okay? This is like other sides of the so-called left right now where people are actually thinking they're revolutionaries and that this stream is just a means to an end to continue the revolution as the bits and the stuff come in and it's like, yes, well done, you know, kind of shit. But like, we are entertainers first and foremost. Like you're fucking streamers on Twitch, right? Like, there's little lights and a fucking camera in front of me. You know, like there are better ones than others. There are people who can use their platform for very good things. There are people who canvass in the real world, who try to enact political change, people who try to live by their beliefs. I agree with all that kind of shit. But then to try and take that away and be like, we are also the arbiters of knowledge and truth. Like, no, we're all doing our best. The editorial staff is right fucking here. This is the editorial staff going on in real time when you're streaming. Like, this shit happens fast. And this, I should add, by the way, thank you, chat, for always keeping me leveled, all right? Like, when I fly off the rails, boom, there'll be, like, 20 links flying in the chat, like, Lance, not true, quick, course correct. I was like, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, no, I'm completely wrong on this. I'm going to change my opinion.
Lance is, I'm not...
I'm literally writing my final paper on that, the political and sociological impacts of new form media on youth engagement. Oh, interesting. Send it to me when you're done. I would love to see it. If you get your opinions from streamers exclusively, or just from streamers, you're a moron. I like to watch streams for content, sometimes agree, sometimes don't. I'm not a cult member. Factor, I gotta agree with the fact that you shouldn't get your information solely from streamers, okay? I don't think if you enjoy a streamer, you got something from a streamer, whether reading a news article, that necessarily makes you a moron by definition, because they could just be reading news. But if someone's opinion, which is... That's what this is. This is an opinion piece. Like, when the show starts and ends, you're watching the Serfs version of the news, my takes, etc. And usually filtered through both this and usually this as well. Because chat is pretty good at calling me on my shit.
Saying any of the things you ascribe to me about a white supremacist judge or any of it. But all else being equal, I'm trying to make an entertaining show.
But do you think that entertaining show can come at the cost of giving like a fair and balanced view of what's happening in the courtroom?
I think it absolutely can, and I don't think that that's what's been taking place with my coverage.
You think it can come at that cost?
I think that, of course, it can. We can find examples of anything, yeah.
I'm not talking about just finding examples of anything. My guess, and I could be wrong, and I'd be interested to do this poll sometime, although now it might be 10 because people hate me in your audience, but like, if you were to have asked before this conversation, Do you think the judge is being relatively fair and impartial to both sides for this trial? My guess is that 85% of your audience would say no, that he's disproportionately favoring the defense.
You're saying if I would...
I think it's a fair criticism of David Pakman, as he can be rather liberal in some takes. Yeah, I think I really disagree with him on most of the takes he was doing in a lot of the reporting on Central and South America, for example. But like, yeah, you're usually like I grew up sometimes watching David Pakman, like when he was one of the few people who was calling out, let's just say, like, you know, Sam Harris or some other actors who were acting during the like the post atheist stage. Like, I thought David Pakman was good on that. We will disagree politically on a variety of issues, like Israel-Palestine coverage, I thought was very lacking. I was kind of surprised that Pac-Man didn't do any coverage of it for such a long time. And his audience was asking him, like, please, can you do the story? And then he did that live stream clip where he said it isn't, you know, great for the views, that kind of stuff. But there are times when David Pakman can be on point. It's like anyone else. I can't imagine how many thousands of people watch my shit on YouTube and are like, Lance is so off base and so wrong and so fundamentally fucked. Like, what the ever-loving fuck is he thinking, you know?
Would have done it absent any of my commentary, or what do you mean? Or
no,
like
no,
yesterday?
Before our conversation. Oh. The vast majority of your audience would say,
yeah,
no,
he's a very calm and collected debater.
And I think that
that's
that is
sure.
The mainstream opinion right now in a lot of like left-leaning media coverage, and then across Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube with people watching this. So
is it possible that it's the right opinion?
It is, but I haven't seen anything to substantiate that, because it seems like when you're pushed on it, you do admit, yeah, he's been pretty fair for everything. So it seems like that
I didn't admit that. See, I think the problem is, like, I don't know. You're misstating every single thing I say. You're either trivializing it and minimizing it or expanding it rather than just dealing with what I'm actually saying.
I thought you said something along the lines of the judge for the most part has been fair. Maybe there have been a couple times.
Matt is Sal, Miranda Montana. Thank you for subscribing.
What I've said is, on optics and the way that he runs the courtroom, I think the judge is wacky and doofusy and off color and all those different things. In addition, separate from that, in terms of the decisions he's made, I think his decisions have favored the defense, while he has made decisions that anecdote individually are sometimes for the prosecution, sometimes for the defense. It's just you seem to be, because I'm not speaking hyperbolically, you seem to be interpreting it as me saying there's nothing to talk about here. I think the judge has been favorable to the defense, but not 99-1.
Sure. I'm curious then, I guess, since now we're going to take a hyper-nuanced point. Like, in what case do you think do you think he's favored the defense in a fair way or an unfair way?
I think that there are examples of him favoring the defense in an unfair way, and I can give you an example if you would allow it.
Sure. I'm curious. What do you think about that?
I'm predicting you're going to focus in on the prosecution sent the defense a blurry video. I'm going before that. Okay. So think back before that latest thing.
Oh, thank
happened.
You, Mattisell. I appreciate it.
I believe that the defense has been able to take advantage of the judge's technological incompetence by introducing arguments about pixels, algorithms, logarithms, etc. put the prosecution in a position to basically have to try to explain to a guy that doesn't understand any of this why everything is okay. And the judge is simply out of incompetence erring on the side of accepting what the defense says, assuming the prosecution is doing tricky things with exhibits, when it's really just the defense using the judge's technological incompetence to their favor.
Okay, I don't know what your background is in terms of how involved you are with the video stuff that goes on for your broadcast, but the judge had an absolutely perfect understanding of the potential issue that could come up. That ruling was incredibly fair, and he didn't even necessarily rule against the prosecution. He just said that if you want to present an evidence in this manner, you need to have an expert witness on hand to do it.
That's otherwise, the case only with one piece of video, but there were endless instances. Okay, go on.
No, it wasn't the issue with the video. It's that they wanted to take a video and manipulate it in the courtroom. If they wanted to have a zoomed video, they should have submitted that as evidence in the pretrial, not tried to manipulate the video in the courtroom for the jury to see. That's a different thing.
I just don't. I mean, listen, you're arguing that a guy who looked dazed and called pixels pickles had a perfect understanding of the technology that's played. It's like, I feel like we're talking about, what are we talking about?
Hey, hold on, you're obfuscating with so many silly words, with so many wacky words. Whether he called it pixels or pickles or whatever isn't relevant.
Yeah, he did.
The judge said it's not. It was shocking to me because he actually displayed.
Now, first off, he said pickles, but that was just, he was misspeaking, okay? That was just a slip of the tongue. He did use the term logarithms when he meant to say algorithms, though, which I think is a little bit more egregious than saying pickles instead of pixels.
An incredibly sophisticated understanding of the pinch and zoom, because there are a lot of tech illiterate people, even younger people, even people in both of our audiences.
Factor V mutated. Like a magnifying Thank you for
glass.
Subscribing.
Appreciate
not. You.
There's all sorts of software that goes into enhancing images that might be involved in a zoom. But if you want to say that there's not, you just need an expert witness on hand to testify, or you should have submitted that evidence in pretrial rather than attempted to manipulate that video in front of a jury on the spot.
Okay.
Ordinarily, this wouldn't be a big deal, but when you're talking about the difference between walking or life in prison with no parole, has to do with how 6 pixels are going to be interpreted on a zoom. I'm sorry, but that is totally fair to say, well, I don't know.
The conversation about the effect of technology on exhibits is 100% fair. The place where it completely fell apart and the judge's incompetence on the matter became clear was that sometimes they were talking simply about still images sent from iPhone to iPhone, and sometimes they were talking about enhanced videos. And the parameters and the conversations that apply to some of those and not to others, including interpolation, the so-called logarithms, by which they meant algorithms, bicubic, nearest neighbor, etc. The judge didn't know what way was up or down and thought some of the things being applied to some of those exhibits apply to others. He was completely confused. The defense was throwing objections and conversations about this one way or the other. And these were all completely different issues, different technological questions around different exhibits. And the judge had no idea that that was going on. They were confusing email, video, images, iPhone.
Maybe we watch different things, or maybe I missed a totally divergent trial.
That must be
my understanding is that this was over one specific video that the prosecution wanted to pinch and zoom. This didn't have to do with emails and all these. It was over one specific video that they wanted to pinch and zoom. And the defense objected. And then the judge said, this seems reasonable. If you want to pinch and zoom in a courtroom, you need an expert witness to testify what information is being added. I think that's a totally fair point, especially if whether or not you are guilty or you walk comes down to how 6 or 7 pixels are interpreted on a zoom like iPhone. I think that's a totally fair point.
You have followed. So, here, OK, let me back up for 1 second. I actually think we may be getting to the end of the usefulness of this, because when I hear you say you were shocked at the judge's incredible understanding of technology, I don't know, Stephen. I'm not even sure that there's a conversation to be had if you were impressed by this judge's technological comprehension. That's scary to me.
Do you think it's incorrect to say that a pinch to zoom could introduce new material into a photo?
It is not incorrect to say that in the absence of actual specific conversations. But the fact that you were impressed by the judge's technological competence is that's concerning to me.
Okay. I guess I don't know. I haven't heard the judge rule on something where it sounded like he was totally out of his element, where he didn't know what he was talking about.
Really?
If you feel like there was an earlier exhibit that was unfair, I mean, it's on the defense or the prosecution to object. If they hadn't, then they didn't. But the judge's ruling.
But now you're flopping back to a. You're going. It's weird because it's like.
Please don't say I'm flopping. I'm not flopping. You can.
Well, you're flipping. Maybe flopping is not the right word.
I'm not flipping or flopping. Okay. Talking very specific. So you were wrong about the pinch and zoom thing. The judge's ruling there was absolutely fair and showed an absolutely decent understanding of the technology involved. That is absolutely true. So if you thought the judge was floundering there, you are incorrect. Now, if you think there was another point that maybe I'm not aware of where you thought the judge was floundering, or if you think that mispronouncing pixels as pickles, I don't know if the judge did that or if the prosecutor did that. But if you think something like that shows that you're technologically incompetent, I'm sure between the two of us, there are a million times times we've mispronounced resolution or interpolation or pixel or whatever.
Dude, the guy is screenshotting text messages, creating a 10-foot long narrow ribbon that he can't even read on his phone in order to preserve text messages. And you're saying that you're impressed by the guy's technological know-how. It's outrageous.
Fair.
Okay, I don't know how to respond to that. So the judges, the fact that the judge had the wherewithal to understand that a pinch and zoom could introduce artifacts into a picture, that's something that I wouldn't expect a 76-year-old man to understand. But he seems to have a decent understanding of that, and he said that if the prosecution wanted to do that in the courtroom, they needed an expert witness. That is a totally fair ruling. If you don't believe me, talk to anybody that deals with photo or video, they'll agree. I don't know what else to say about that. If there was another time you thought he was being unfair or technologically literate...
He's not addressing what Pac-Man just mentioned, but that was the point in the trial when the judge was like, so when I get text messages, what I often like to do is I like to email them to myself, and then I can preserve them that way, so I will have a batch of texts. And then he shows on his phone what it looks like when you have a huge line of texts that you've collected. And then he's like, and as you can see here, when I take this batch of texts and zoom in on it, it becomes blurry, and now I can't understand what I'm looking at. That's what Pac-Man's referring to.
I don't know if screenshotting text messages is your bar for that. Then you can go for it. But as
it's a pretty freaking low bar. I mean, my bar is higher. It's just, you know, it's sort of like a... It's like printing out emails and putting them in a file folder.
As it pertains to the trial, I haven't heard him say anything that's completely unreasonable in regards to technology.
Really?
Is there anything else you can think of besides? Is there like a specific... Because this one ain't it. This isn't it. Was there another point that I missed where he said
something that was incredibly
technologically foolish?
It's not a question of what he says. It's that the defense is taking advantage of the fact that he can't tell the difference between whether pinch and zoom is relevant related to a video or a picture.
You've already lost on this point. Why are you bringing this up? That was a totally fair objection by the defense that the judge sustained. Then the prosecution needs an expert witness to testify. That's totally fair. You have to have a different example than that.
The judge said he didn't actually understand. You're simultaneously saying the judge was very, very competent and perfectly understood it and said, bring in an expert witness. But in saying that the expert witness needs to come in, he said, I'm not understanding it. You're telling me one thing. You're telling me another thing. I don't know. The guy said, I don't know. He said, I don't understand it.
Hold on. What he meant and what he was saying was in response to the prosecution.
So now you know what he meant when he said, I didn't understand it. He meant, I do understand it.
No, because what the prosecution was saying was, this is simple. Everybody has pinch and zoom on their phone. Everybody does this. That was the prosecution's argument they were arguing in favor of. And the judge said that he didn't have the technical know-how to know one way or another if that was true. So they need to bring in an expert witness to testify. I think that shows a perfectly competent understanding of the complexities involved in these types of image processing environments.
You first said the guy showed an incredible understanding of the technology. Now you're saying the judge showed a great understanding of his limitation for understanding the technology. These are two different things. You're now going
David, he was smart enough to realize he doesn't know. Do you really think that these are two different points, David?
Wait. Yeah.
Okay, so just in case anyone is not entirely clear what is being talked about right now. Judge buys Rittenhouse's lawyer inane argument that Apple's pinch to zoom manipulates footage. This is from The Verge. The lawyer claimed Apple has artificial intelligence that manipulates footage when you pinch to zoom. As Kyle Rittenhouse took the stand to answer questions about what the sequence of events before he shot a killed man in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the jury was forced to watch the video evidence play out in miniature. Because Rittenhouse's defense lawyer came up with the wild notion that Apple has artificial intelligence that manipulates footage when you pinch to zoom on an iPad, as Judge Bruce Schroeder originally bought into that possibility. iPads, which are made by Apple, have artificial intelligence in them that allows to be viewed through three dimensions and logarithms. It uses artificial intelligence or their logarithms to create what they believe is happening. So this isn't actually enhanced video. This is Apple's iPod programming, creating what it thinks is there, but is not necessarily is there, they added. While it is unclear from the full video proceedings whether the judge actually prohibited the prosecution from using an iOS device or otherwise zooming into the footage, the result was still the same. Instead of using an iPad, the jury wound up watching the original zoomed out clips on a Windows machine hooked up to a larger TV in the courtroom. The images didn't fill the TV's entire screen. Judge Schroeder argued that it was the prosecution, not the defense, that had the burden of proof to proving that Apple doesn't use artificial intelligence to manipulate footage, demanding that they provide an expert to testify, and didn't allow the prosecution to adjourn to find that expert before bringing Rittenhouse up for cross-examination. The judge suggested that the prosecutors could somehow find the expert in 20 minutes while they took a brief recess. They ended up bringing him in the next day. Maybe you can find someone to testify on this within minutes. I don't know, said the judge. No such expert was there by the time the trial resumed. When the expert did testify, to his credit, the judge did allow it to be admitted into evidence. While the nature of reality with regards to digital images is thorny when it comes to things like color, digital image scaling is fairly well understood. There's still six criminal charges against Rittenhouse in this trial.
Yes.
Hold on. I'm curious. I'm just super curious. Do you think that earlier I was saying that the judge has an incredibly good and deep technical understanding of the intricacies?
Yes, you said you were impressed with it. You said you were impressed with his understanding.
All right. I understand. All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Do you understand?
I don't think you're either not approaching the conversation in good faith, or you're trying really, really hard to just win a debate. You're not listening to what I'm saying. But I mean, it could be either one. I'm not sure.
I'm trying to win it. I didn't even want to have a debate. I wasn't the one tweeting about copium. Did you contact me or did... Hold on, Stephen. Did you contact me asking to talk today or did I contact you?
Wow, I have never seen David Pakman mad like this before.
People told me in my stream...
No, but hold on, Stephen. Hold on. People told me the same thing. Did you contact me or did I contact you?
I messaged you.
Okay.
You responded to my tweet. Yeah. After I tweeted at you. Yeah.
Okay. So now you're saying the conversation you started is one where you don't like that I'm trying to win a debate? What?
No. When I say I don't... It's not that I... don't mind an argument. Okay. It doesn't seem like you're having a good faith characterization of what I'm saying.
I would say the same to you.
I think I've understood what you've said pretty well. I'm restating your points back to you. I'm writing them down as you talk to me, but you keep jumping from one thing to the other or bringing up things that we previously rehashed.
Just for the record, if you're just writing down what someone else is saying, that doesn't like de facto give you, I am completely approaching this in good faith. I know everything that you've said so far. Like it's like how you're interpreting what they're saying. Not if you're literally just dictating what they've said.
In order to win the point, but
I don't care about, I don't think there's any winners here. I think there's all losers. I can assure you, I have no interest in winning any point or winning any bigger thing here. I really don't care.
That's the truest statement on the Rittenhouse trial so far.
The combination of the ease with which you seem to be triggered by some of this stuff, combined with what I see as a desire to just denounce the left and fight with everybody, to me, seems like you're not really in a great place, and I'm worried about you. That's ultimately what it is.
So, I mean, like, we can keep running the memes down all you want, but my problem is
what that memes?
The vast majority of the everything you're saying right now is a meme.
It's not a meme, actually. It's not a meme.
I do get triggered by misinformation. I do get triggered when people are dishonestly presenting narratives, and then you claim it's just for entertainment or it's just your opinion.
I never said that.
People are you did earlier. People can go.
I never said it's. Hold on a second. But there's two. But see, you're misstating it right there.
You just said that.
Yeah, I lost.
You said it was only for entertainment, and it's only your opinion.
You said earlier, yeah.
Hold on a second. Let me say what I said. That's right. Let me say what I said. I said, sometimes you seem to get a little more mad than it seems sensible over something that at the end of the day is someone's opinion.
You're not even addressing
the second piece of it is I never said it's only entertainment.
Like, you're just saying you're mad over and over again. Like this is reinforcing your point. Like you're like, are you mad? That's what you're doing.
Am I mad, you're saying?
No, you're asking me in more words. You're saying like, you seem mad. Are you mad? That's your response to like half the things I'm saying to you.
Yeah, because it's not you know, it's like I know a lot of people and I relate to a lot of people. And the degree to which you're just furious all the time is not normal to me.
This isn't a response to anything I've said. I am furious on the internet a lot. It's what I've done for the past 10 years. But I think that I make a lot of salient critiques to how the majority of people online seem to be covering this trial. And a lot of your coverage has fallen in line with that. That there have been unfair rulings from the judge towards the prosecution and the defense. That the trial is a farce. That he's favoring one side. That he's incompetent technologically. And that's why he's ruling on some things. And I think all of these things are just demonstrably untrue. But I mean,
right. Yeah, I mean, I guess we just disagree. You know, it's just, I don't know. The problem is like, I'm sort of like, I feel totally fine being like, hey, you know what? Stephen Kenneth Destiny Bunnell II has a different opinion than me. He came to different conclusions than me on some things. He isn't a bad person as a result. I'm not assuming bad faith. It's like, it's just not a big deal. I'm not furious with him. I'm not tweeting copium F-bomb. Whereas you see that I could only have come to these conclusions either by lying to my audience or doing it for entertainment. You know, like it's just weird. That's the problem I'm having where
this doesn't make sense. If it was the case that one of us was lying and the other wasn't, then it's not really an argument to say, well, one of us is cool with both sides and the other is upset if the one person that's cool with both sides is the one lying. Now, I'm not saying that is the case here that we know that to be, obviously because we disagree on that, but like, yeah, of course I'm going to be a little bit more upset and you're going to not care as much if I think that you're the one that's being dishonest, which I think your tweet obviously clearly was. So I mean,
I could just as easily, listen, Stephen.
Uh-huh, yeah.
The internet, my audience and your audience are filled with people who on the same basis of fact think I'm being honest and you're being dishonest. So it's,
and I would welcome any of that discussion. If anybody wants to talk with me,
go talk to Kenny. That's what I'm saying.
Anybody wants to, feel free to, because yeah. I haven't found a single person that wants to talk about the facts of the case. And it seems to be like pretty ubiquitous that the people that are the most mad just haven't been watching what's been going on, or they've just been dissecting headlines.
But hold on a second. Hold on a second. Yeah. You just said, I want to get through this point without you interrupting me.
Go for it.
You just said, it seems to you that the people who are most mad haven't really been watching the case. You just conceded you're way more mad than me. By the standard you just laid out, we would have to assume you're not really watching the case, right?
I said that it seems to be. That right? was the whole point behind my tweet, where I was surprised because I know that you've been watching the whole case. So yeah. I didn't understand how you were saying things that were just factually untrue.
It's just weird because like, if imagine that this was about the World Cup, right?
Okay.
If I watched one World Cup game and you watched every game and you had a different opinion than me, my initial instinct would be, hey, you know what? Stephen Kenneth Destiny Bunnell II saw every game and I didn't. I shouldn't immediately assume he's lying, a bad person, arguing in bad faith or deceiving people. My initial instinct would be he's watched much more of it Let's see how he came to that conclusion. Your reaction to having watched parts, and I've watched the whole thing, is to assume I'm lying and arguing in bad faith. It's strange to me. That's unusual.
Because I've been watching parts of your coverage, and every single time you just seem to be constantly and relentlessly shitting on the judge and not understanding like what like anything that he brings up is like this is just him being.
I haven't watched all of David Pakman's coverage of this, but is that an accurate statement? As has the overwhelming amount of David Pakman's coverage and content been just shitting on the judge, or has he just been like kind of calling things out as they happen? Because that hasn't been the majority of the trial. Obviously, there's been those key moments that everyone's kind of picked upon, the ordering of the Chinese food, the reference to some of the jurors as the black, the ringing of the cell phone three separate times with proud to be an American. Like these are things, the pickles instead of pixels, logarithms instead of algorithms. These are things that everyone has talked about because they are obviously, you know, newsworthy in the sense that, yeah, they do kind of make this seem more ridiculous than it should be.
Bias or, oh, the defense was saving this because of the jury deliberations. Like
that's just when I said that, you know, I think, I don't know if you watched when I said that on my stream, I literally said, guys, I'm just throwing this out there as like a, what do you think of this sort of thing? That's all it was. It's like, it's not, this isn't like,
it's been incredibly reasonable. Okay.
I'm bored by even having to keep talking about it. It was just like, hey, does anybody think this might be a thing? And a bunch of people in my audience go no. And some say yes. And that's it. That's all it is.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just not a big deal.
I guess it's all just memes in the end, huh?
See, that's the thing. You then trivialize it by saying it's all memes.
Like constantly trivial. It's just my opinion. It's just entertainment. Like I was just throwing it out there. Like it's just my opinion. Like you're the one that's trivialized the fuck out of your side completely over and over again. Like,
but I'm watching a trial and it's literally my opinion. I'm watching a trial and it's my opinion. I'm giving my opinion.
Yeah, but the disagreement is over the, like, opinions can have. You're trying to make it sound like anybody can have any opinion about anything. Right?
No, I am not. No. I'm against that type of sort of postmodernist thinking. That's not
exactly
what I'm saying at all.
That's exactly what you're doing. Like, no, I walk into my apartment and I'm like, you know what? I think that somebody replaced my computer with an identical computer that's exactly like it, has all the same information. And someone's like, why do you think that? And I'm like, bro, why are you attacking me? That's just my opinion.
Childish. That's silly.
What are you talking about? How many times you said over and over again, this is my opinion or this is just.
No, but you're angry.
Because it's the David Pakman show. It's going to be David Pakman's opinion. Just like it's the Destiny show, it's going to be Destiny's opinion. This is the Surf show. It's going to be Lance's opinion on this. These are all opinion pieces. All three of them. We're all just opinion pieces.
When someone just comes to have a different opinion, it's a weird level of anger.
Opinion. I'm angry about factually misstating things, like why the defense might be asking for a mistrial, or implying that it's because they're nervous about jury deliberation, or implying that it's because
Steven. Yeah. Have you talked to the defense?
No.
Okay, so. You're saying that something is factually wrong when it's just an idea. You have the idea that the defense wouldn't hold bringing the mistrial request in open court. And I
because
said, what if they
filed it? They'd already filed it,
but they didn't push the judge for the decision.
I don't think the judge had read the motion yet. I think they had the mind file on Friday.
They might or might not know that.
Okay.
But it's just weird when you're like, hey, your speculation is that's not something the defense would do. And I go, I wonder if the defense would do it. And somehow I'm the one who's bad because of that.
Was the defense supposed to go on Sunday to the judge's house and say, hey, consider our motion right now? Like,
well, yesterday was Wednesday, right? So they gave it to him on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, I don't even know what we're arguing about.
Well, it's funny because the judge in court literally made a statement about people like you. I think it was about this motion where he said, people in the media are really upset that I didn't rule on this motion on Monday. And, you know, I literally just got this and I haven't even given the prosecution a chance to respond yet.
I thought that was on the first mistrial request.
I think there was a second one that they submitted on Friday that had to do with, they wanted, I think it was a mistrial without prejudice. I might be mixing these two up, but I don't think the prosecution had responded to this yet.
Hmm.
I'm just saying, like, your narrative is so conspiratorial.
I really don't have a conspiratorial tendency. I'm very much not a conspiratorial. Like I'm. That's not my instinct. My audience, I think, knows that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever think there were points where Rittenhouse was just firing indiscriminately into the crowd when he was shooting?
No. Upon seeing the videos more closely, I would say no.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else you want to chat about? Or?
I mean, listen. I think that the self-defense case on Huber is pretty obvious, legally speaking. I think that if there's a question, it's going to be about Rosenbaum. That's my prediction in terms of the jury. And I think that I would be shocked if there's anything other than just not guilty on Huber. But I think that they'll focus their debate on Rosenbaum, their deliberation.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is my opinion wrong on that?
No, you can have an opinion on literally anything.
Oh,
my opinion is that the sky is blue because I think somebody put a lot of food dye there a long time ago. But I think we can have opinions on whatever we want to have opinions on. I think that's fine.
Okay, all right.
All right. Well, hey, listen, I love you, David.
Are you? Are we fighting now, or like, am I like passed on Tiger now, where we don't talk?
Hey, I'm with everybody. I love it. I think it's fun. I don't hate you.
In all seriousness, I hope that this isn't inappropriate, but you've never mentioned being mildly autistic. You're not mildly autistic, right?
I'm half Hispanic. Okay.
I'm 100% Hispanic, but that's okay. Not the question.
I don't know if your Argentinian family is the same, but when my Cuban family argues with each other, they are fucking screaming at the top of their lungs. That's what normal conversation sounded like.
Fair.
When I would go to Miami.
Fair.
And with my family.
That's fair. No.
I'm used to my family. Yeah. So when I talk with my white friends or whatever, or not that we're white, of course, because we're Hispanic.
We're Hispanic. I know. I know.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. This is like a.
Wait, what? Where did that come from? That was a twist I was not expecting. What the hell?
Normal conversation. I'm fine. I'm chill. Okay.
But you're not autistic.
I have no idea. I play video games. I might have developed autism. I played a lot of League of Legends, David.
Huh. Possible. I'm not joking around about this. It sounds like you're saying maybe you are slightly autistic.
Maybe that's just your opinion, though.
No,
maybe
I don't have an opinion. I have no opinion. I'm asking you.
Uh-huh. I don't know, David. I'm not sure.
See, I can't tell if you're memeing now.
Seems to be a big problem in this conversation, huh?
Huh. All right. Maybe, well, listen,
not being able to read social cues is a big sign of autism.
Maybe I know. That's why I think
some... projecting your autism onto me. Do you think?
I think the reason some in my audience brought
this turned into an autism debate. What is going on? Like, you don't develop autism. What is happening?
This up. I'm being very serious here. Is that they thought that the rapid escalation and attacks were a lack of reading social cues. I think that's why someone brought it up to me.
Oh, gotcha. Are there a lot of social cues?
I think you can bring that up. You can definitely say that, like, yeah, it seems as if this person is not, like, noticing social cues fine without having to, you know, be ableist about it.
Cues on the 180 character tweets that people are sending out.
I
you know
so.
What, David? You know what would fix all of this?
Tell me.
You need more zoomers in your audience. You got to tag your tweets with the slashes at the end to get the tone tags.
Tweets? What are tweets?
Tweets?
Oh, sorry. I misheard that.
Tweet. You have to do the tone tags at the end.
All right. Well, I don't even know what that is. That's crazy. Okay. But
look them up, and it helps people like me understand your tone better.
Did you move to Miami?
Not yet, but by the end of the month, I probably will have.
By the end of this month.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, listen. If you're in LA. And you'll have me. I would love to get...
Why is it ableist? Well, because if you're accusing someone of doing something and it's behavior that you either don't agree with or don't like, and you're saying the reason for that behavior happens to be that you are X or suggest that you are X, that in turn would imply that bad behavior is also associated with that, and or you're trying to, like, armchair diagnose somebody for, like, a disagreement you're having.
Get lunch in a few weeks, but it sounds like you may be gone.
Oh, just let me know when you're here and I'll have you, okay?
You're still going
to
be living there.
Maybe we can grab Hassan and he'll come hang out with us too, okay?
I plan to go to the Hassan house, actually.
Oh, shit.
I'm not like trying to do a whole like, oh, wait, okay, now this entire thing has fallen apart. We have discovered that we have the sin of ableism and now neither like argument is valid or anything like that. No, I'm just saying that like that is a very unusual thing to have ended this conversation with.
Make sure you have your proper identification so you don't get shot by security. But otherwise, yeah, that should definitely be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. But
like, I think in whenever it was that really embarrassing conversation I had with Destiny way back in the day, like 2 years ago, where I was defending Mike from Redacted because I thought that was like an issue of like someone with 20,000 viewers bullying someone with a smaller amount of viewers, and I was called spineless and all that. I even brought that up at one point. I was like, is there a thing going on where you're not like picking up on the social cues, or do you have a problem with social cues? Has anyone ever said that? That was like, I think I said something to that effect because of like the disconnect the two of us were having. I in no way assumed that had anything to do with, like, you know, X reason or whatever.
But in all seriousness, you'll be in LA in a few weeks still, right?
I probably will be, yeah.
Yeah, it's feeling like the end of the month for Miami might not happen.
Maybe, we'll see.
All right, good, Steven, we'll keep in touch. And let's just relax, let's relax, let's live together, let's be in peace.
A bunch of people in chat were bringing it up because of his behavior, so David asked it. Oh, okay. I don't mind armchair diagnoses, just as long as it's based in I have this close to the person in my life who's autistic and has had similar behaviors, but I'm not a professional and doesn't say that. I mean, it would be a thing that I would discuss in private then.
Peace, you know?
Okay, I'm super peaceful, super relaxed, right?
All right,
all
thank
of this
you.
So far, David, this was just all my opinion, all right? I do this for entertainment, so it is what it is, you know?
That's what I assumed, actually.
Okay. Well, hey, I love you. Stay safe. David Deepak Pacman.
Okay. All right, there it is. And say hi to Melina for me, please.
I'll definitely say hi to her, okay? Have fun.
Okay. All right, thank you. There's Stephen Kenneth Destiny Manel II. And wow. Wow. What do we think, guys? Anybody? I mean, I don't even know what to think. Did I lose? How many people were watching on his stream, by the way? Somehow I gained, we were up to 14,000, 15,000 viewers during that. Destiny must have a crazy audience going right now, let's see. 1400. Wait a second.
I can't tell if he's throwing shade right now. But like people who are watching you, David, are going to obviously like your numbers are going to increase as soon as you're in the middle of like, you know, a drama cycle or a debate or something like that.
What about on Twitch?
A minute before that happened, a super chat asked him about it. Yeah, no, fair enough. I'm not saying that that just came out of the blue. But again, I think that's something you could have just asked him in a DM or something, not made it into like a moment of the conversation.
3,000 on Twitch. What? What the hell? What's happening? What? He muted me? What does that mean? His audience couldn't hear me? What does that even mean? Why would he mute it over there?
Actually,
why would he mute it? Isn't it content? I don't even get that.
Did that happen?
Yeah, I don't think we learned anything. I don't think we learned a thing from that.
Yeah, he muted him? What? Oh, that is bizarre.
Because I'm banned on Twitch? That's crazy. Well, all right.
Okay. Never mind. I scratched that. That's completely fair. Yeah, I totally forgot Pac-Man was banned on Twitch. What have I done? Holy shit. Now I'm going to be banned on Twitch. I got to roast this mod. Holy shit. Oh. So you've just been listening to an episode of The Surf Times, and if you enjoy it and want to see The Surf Times, you can go to wearesurfs.com or watch the live shows at thesurfs.tv. And also everywhere social media is sold, basically thesurfs.tv, you'll find us there, twitter.com/thesurfstv, for example. It would also help us out tremendously if you could leave a good review of this podcast if you enjoyed it, either on, I don't know, iTunes or wherever you're podcasting. Apparently it does help, and yeah, we hope to see you soon.
To our gods, Xander Corvus and Peyton L. Joost, we will build a ladder to heaven to deliver you the daily news. To our monarch, Tom Spiker, we are your most humble of clownish jesters. To our lords, Trevor R. and Alexander Thaler, you have our undying fealty. To our knights of the round table, Nate, that one guy, Hagbird Celine, Matthew Scarborough, Stellar Vision, Ariana McCarthy, Daniel Sutton, Ants Are Still Running the World, Coulter Smith, Tom Groh, Val 9000, Jenna Tal, Quiet 185, Anna Loves Riley, Riley and Anna, Omni, Poodle Hawk, The Tim Caucus, Multi Mondi, Trevor Janice, Lemmy 101, Anthropofojack, Saren 42, Chronic to Hemphog, Catherine, Radical Maniac, Ramon Acosta, Incosin, Violent Orchard, Sophie Baby, Political Puppy, Andreas Chiringuito, Zach Christensen, Josh Mickelson, Todd Buckingham, and Todd Lajeunesse. We shall meet you in the tavern, and we raise a drink, and we salute you.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price, exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.